Turn to a scripture verse in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, the latter part of verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, just the latter part of verse 7, the last line. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. For even Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Now, Israel was in Egypt, in bondage and slavery. Their groans and their cries of 400 years in slavery and bondage, toiling for the pharaohs of Egypt, and their cries went up to heaven. And Almighty God, in His own time, determined to deliver, to redeem His people from Israel, from Egypt, from darkness and slavery, in His own time. And in doing so, He said to Moses, have the people select a lamb for each house. Now, if the house is not big enough to consume one lamb, then two or three houses go together. But select a lamb without spot or blemish, a male of the first year. Put it up for 4 days. Select it on the 10th day. Put it up till the 14th day. And observe it. And then on the 14th day, you slay the lamb. And you roast it with fire. And you eat the meat. And you take the blood and strike it on the lintel and on the two side posts of the door. And you go in your house and you get ready to leave Egypt. For at midnight, I will pass through the land of Egypt. And I will bring death upon the firstborn in every home. In every home. But when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And that night, the scripture says, there was a terrible wail went up from the land of Egypt. As home after home after home, even the cattle on the hillside, all the way to the home of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The firstborn in every home was dead, except in the home protected by the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And they left Egypt. And God instructed them, turn to Exodus 12. God instructed them to keep this Passover. Exodus chapter 12, he instructed them to observe this Passover every year at this time. He said in verse 25 of Exodus 12, and it shall come to pass, when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, and he delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And when our Lord Jesus Christ gathered his 12 disciples together, he was observing this Passover with his disciples. I read it a moment ago. He said, you'd go and make ready the Passover. And they said, where? And he said, well, a man will meet you, and you follow him. You'll go to a house, and you'll say to him, the master has need of this house to observe the Passover, this Passover feast, with his disciples. You make ready. Well, that evening, he sat around with his disciples and observed this Passover. Israel was in Egypt, slavery and sick, helpless, hopeless. And God purposed to save them. And God saved them in a way that was typical and symbolic of the way he saved sinners from darkness and slavery of sin. And Israel observed this Passover. Now, when our Lord Jesus Christ ate the Passover with his disciples, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. this do in remembrance of me. And he took the cup and gave it to them, and he said, this wine is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it, and do so in remembrance of me. And that same time, our Lord, at that same month, our Lord went to the cross and died. The Lord's Passover, our lamb slain. And from that moment, this Passover is ceased. What it represented has been fulfilled. Whom it represented, he has come and died. And we no longer slay a lamb. We no longer go through the ceremony of the Passover supper. But now we observe the Lord's table, which he gave to his church. Now let's look for just a moment, beginning at Exodus 12, verse 3, at how this Passover represents or symbolizes our Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus 12, verse 3, he said in verse 3, speak ye, speaking to Moses, unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, thou shalt take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, no other creature could so well have typified our Lord Jesus Christ as a lamb. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He laid down his life willingly. He did not object. He did not argue. He did not fight. When they came to take him in the garden with their swords and spears, he said to them, you seek me, let these go their way. And he gave himself willingly. He gave his back to those who whipped it. He gave his cheeks to those that plucked out the hair. He gave his face to those who smote him. He is holy and harmless and undefiled. And no other creature could so well have represented Christ as a lamb. You watch a lamb, and their wool is stripped from their back to clothe us. And they never offer any resistance. They don't growl. They don't bite. They don't kick. They don't gore. They stand there while you strip the wool. And when they are slain, when a lamb's blood is shed and they're slain to feed us, they stand there bleating until their life is gone out of them. But they offer no resistance. And a lamb represents Christ because our Lord Jesus Christ is a willing substitute. He said, my kingdom is not of this world, or my servants would fight you. My servants would fight you. But he never fought. He willingly died. So that Christ is our lamb. When John the Baptist pointed to him, he said, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Christ is our lamb. All right, secondly, he said, take a lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Without blemish. It must not be sick. You see, it cannot be seconds. The Lord is never pleased with anything like that. One time they mentioned giving the Lord something that was a sick lamb, a sick sheep. He said, take that to your governor and see if he'll accept it. But he said, you pick out the best lamb. Must not be sick, must not be lame, must not be diseased. It must be the finest lamb of the flock. And I'll tell you this. Our sacrifice, our lamb, is the crown jewel of glory. He's the Father's well-beloved Son. He's the choice. He's the firstborn of every creature. He is the elect of God. He is the finest. The finest. Our Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. No spot or blemish. He knew no sin. He not only did no sin, he knew no sin. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says, in him is no sin. All right, notice the next word. It's to be a male of the first year. That's the prime of life. That sheep, 1 year old of the first year, the prime of life. The prime of its existence. Christ died at 33 years of age. In the prime of his life, in the strength and health of his youth. You shall take it from among the sheep or from the goats. Watch this now. You shall keep it up until the 14th day. That's 4 days. Now, I studied this a little bit, and I found so many different applications to these 4 days. They just, I think, sometimes take these things too far. These types and all, they try to get too much out of them. But they kept it put up 4 days, and chiefly, keeping that lamb put up for 4 days was to observe it, to critically scrutinize it and inspect it, that it might be certain that there was no blemish, that there was no spot, that there was no disease, that it was a perfect lamb. And that's why they kept it up, because if it had a spot or a blemish or disease, it could not be accepted of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth. He walked on this earth for nearly 34 years, but principally 4 years, publicly. And he began his public ministry by being scrutinized and inspected by Satan. Satan took him to the top of that mountain, and he tried him every way he knew to try. Our Lord, you've never known temptation. You say, well, if the Lord only knew my temptation. Well, you ain't never been tempted. You've never been the sole object of the prince of evil. You never have. You've never been the sole object of all of the force of cunning and craftiness and deceit and power that hell can bring to bear upon him. And that in his weakened state, for he'd been without food, Charlie, for 40 days. You talk about our Lord identifying with us in our trials and temptations. He didn't meet Satan when he had gotten up from a meal and spent the week in rest. He met Satan at his weakest point when he was without food 40 days. And Satan tried him, first of all, make these stones bread. Why don't you eat? You've got the power to do it. You want the people to worship you? Why, he said, cast yourself off the temple. Prove you're the Son of God. They'll worship you. Why, he said, you worship me and I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. All this will be. You don't have to go to a cross. You don't have to be despised and rejected of me. I'll give you the influence of this world. You can buy it if you want it. It's an awful cost. You can have the favor of this world. You can have it. Satan will give it to you. You can have the approval of this world, the favor of this world. You can have the companionship of this world. Just got to sell your soul. That's all you got to do. It comes high, doesn't it? It comes high. But our Lord Jesus Christ was tried of Satan and then the Pharisees, the religious men, the Sadducees, the lawyers. They all tried him. And then the law of God tried him. And then the Father himself tried him. Pilate summed it up at his trial. He spoke for heaven, earth, and hell. I find no fault in him. I find no fault. So they took him out and crucified him. You see, the lamb was selected without spot or blemish, put up for 4 days, inspected, scrutinized, watched, proved to be an acceptable lamb. So then they took it out and slew it. And our Lord Jesus Christ proved through 4 years of the strongest temptation and the strongest scrutiny and inspection and trial by the Prince of Darkness and the King of Glory and all mankind. And finally, God used Pilate and his tongue. The Lord used whom he will to speak for him. You know that? And old Pilate stood before the whole world and pointed at him. I find no fault in him. And heaven said that too. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I find no fault. So they crucified him. See, the lamb must be slain. It says here in verse 6, you keep it to the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. Oh, that's such a fine lamb and such a spotless lamb, and it's perfect. You've observed it. Lord, why not? We've proved our faithfulness. We've proved we believe what you said. We've proved by putting up the lamb. But now these lambs could be used as food on our journey. There's a lot of things which must be killed. Don't do any reasoning. Don't use any logic on God. The law's got to be satisfied and justice has to be honored. The soul that sinneth got to die. And I don't care what sentimentality or emotion you feel toward the Son of God. If he's going to be our Savior, he's got to die. He's got to. The blood must be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Our Lord taught that in the garden when he slew the first lamb to cover Adam's nakedness. Abel proved that when he and Cain came to bring their offering. And Cain used his reason. He used his logic. He used his good common sense. And Abel used the word of God and brought a lamb. And God had respect to Abel's offering and rejected Cain's. Abraham proved it when he took his son off that altar and put the lamb in his place. Well, there's been enough suffering here. There's been enough conflict. Let the ram go and Isaac never got to die. Somebody's got to die for my sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it must die. Do what you will. Believe what you will. Teach what you will. Claim what you will. The lamb's got to die. You've got to kill it. He died. All right, let's go on. Now then, but faith applies the blood. Now here are all those people sitting around listening to Moses. This is such an eventful time. They had served in Egypt. Some of those old men had long white beards, stooped shoulders, and withered and weather-beaten hands and faces. They had served in Egypt under the bondage and slavery of Pharaoh's whip. Their fathers had served. Their fathers' fathers had served. And their fathers' fathers' fathers had been in that horrible slavery. And Moses stood up before them. And he said, take the lamb now and roast it with fire. That's our Lord's suffering on the cross, burned with fire. The fire of wrath. He said, I thirst. I thirst. Oh, the dry throat and the parched lips and the burning fever racking through his body. He suffered. He burned on the altar of Calvary. Eat the flesh and take the blood. And when you finish killing that lamb and eating the flesh, you take that blood. This is so important. And on your house, you put that blood. On the lintel, on the two doorposts. Because God Almighty says here, look at it, verse 7, and you take the blood and you strike it on the two side posts, on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein ye shall eat. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Don't eat it raw. Don't eat it sodden with water. Roast it with fire. And then on down here in verse 11, and you thus shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I'll smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods, princes of Egypt. I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token. Or a token upon the houses where you are. My friend, that blood on that doorpost of their houses was symbolic. It was a token. It was a pattern. The blood of an animal cannot save. That represented Christ. And the application of the blood by faith is the same thing that we do when we confess Christ. Lord, I believe. I receive Christ. I believe Christ. I commit my soul to Christ. When that father slew that lamb and they ate it and he took the blood and with a hyssop he went over to the door, he is saying, Lord, I believe. That's what he's saying, Russell. He's saying, I believe. I believe. Lord, I believe. That's all. I just believe. I believe. And he went in the house and shut the door. And that night, God, not a death angel, God said, I'll pass. I'm tired of people talking about death angels. God said, I'll pass through. God will slay sinners. He said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. And he He's going to pass through. He may pass through your soul tonight. He may pass through your house tonight. The only thing that holds him back is your time hadn't come. That's the only thing. But I'm telling you this, as I take this bread and this wine, I'm doing just exactly what that daddy did in Egypt. I'm saying, Lord, this is my hope. I'm putting the blood on the door. I hold up the bread, and I just like that daddy held up that meat from that slain lamb and ate it with his family. He ate it in faith. And I take this unleavened bread and I eat it before God and before men and before my own heart. And I say, this is my hope. When God passes through, when the darkness comes and the day of God's judgment shall appear, and he passes through with his judgment, this is my hope. And I'm going to take this wine in a few minutes. And I'm going to drink it before the Lord. It's the same thing when that daddy put that blood on that door line. That's the same thing. That's clear as I can make it, my friend. And that's clear as God can make it. Because that's what God said. It is the Lord's Passover. It's not the Baptist church Passover. He keeps saying that. You see how many times he said that, Bob? It's the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Supper. It is purposed by Him, provided by Him, purchased by Him, and presented to us by Him. And I take the Lord's Supper. And that's my hope. My hope. It's not because I'm a preacher or because I've been to church all these years or because I'm better than anybody else. It's because this sinner is saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. If you're sitting out here tonight, and we're reenacting just exactly what happened in Egypt. God's coming through. I don't know when He's coming through. But I'm saying this. You take the lamb and its blood, and you before God. God is my witness. This is my hope. This is my hope. If you can take it, take it. If you've received Christ, believed on Him, rested in Him, if you by faith have put the blood on the door, and you take the bread and the wine and rejoice in it. Oh, I'm telling you, don't you know they rejoiced? They rejoiced. And I'm telling you this, when it was all over, they stood outside those doors as that whale went up from Egypt. They thanked God for the blood. And I'll tell you, when we get to glory, we're going to stand in amazement and say, worthy is the Lamb who loved us and washed us in His own precious blood and made us unto our God kings and priests. Unto Him be the glory both now and forever. I thank God for the Lamb. Russell, you serve our table for us. Here I look into the faces of our boys and girls as they're watching this serving of the bread. And I want to say to them, what our Master said to His disciples, I have many things to say to you that you're not able now to understand, but you watch what is being done. What we're saying to you boys and girls, and God will open your heart someday to see your sins, your need of Christ, and bring you to faith in Him. But what you're seeing here is what here men and women, young people from all walks of life, from every background, experience, from all nationalities, even from all denominations, have been brought together with the Spirit of God to rest in one Savior, to trust in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. That's what we're saying to you. By when you ask, what meaneth this ordinance? We're saying to you that Christ is our hope, that He redeemed us by His blood. And the only way you'll be redeemed is by trusting Him. God's never had but one way of salvation for any sheep, and that's Christ. So you listen to this and watch this and observe it. Don't you let anybody ever take you away from it. You keep coming back to this one. This is my body, He said, broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Charlie, offer prayer for us and we'll take the word. Well, let's turn in our hymn books, if you will, to number 210. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Number 210. Mike, you come lead us in the first and last verse of number 210. First and last stanza. While we stand, please.
saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one.